Today in our hot seat, we've got Olivier Marcheteau. He's the CEO at the Accolat Group. Hi, Olivier. Good to have you here.
Hi to both of you. Good to meet you.
Olivier, are you ready for this?
I'm fully ready.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Nimzi's Inga Boonen, VP of Consulting, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
In one sentence, what is it actually that the Accolat Group does?
We help our customers turn content into value and succeed internationally. And we do that by providing them with outstanding quality translation and language services. We are now the number one translation and language service provider in Europe and ranking in the top five in the world. And enjoying that every day, to be honest.
You are the CEO at Accolat Group. Was that a career that you dreamt of having as a kid already?
I joined the industry relatively recently because I started as a CEO back in January 2020. I actually love growth environment. My background is in the digital space for the past 20 plus years. And I felt that the language services industry is a fascinating industry with a lot of growth opportunities to operate in. And then it's going through a lot of technology and services transformation. And I'm passionate about trying to drive change and help companies succeed and accelerate in turbulent environments. So I felt that would be a right place to be. And then I usually say that you have to pick your professional adventure so that they are collective, exciting journeys. And when I met the Accolat shareholders and teams, I felt that they were exactly the sort of people I would want to partner with and the sort of culture I would want to operate in. So that's what drove my choice. And after 24 months, it's been a hell of a ride with a lot of surprising along the way, but a great place to work in. And the last sort of personal touch is my father was and still is actually an English teacher. So there's something probably a bit more personal about joining this industry. Mm-hmm. And that I'm happy to try and grow in this industry as well.
When you are not working, how is it that you like to spend your time? Or do you have time for yeah. hobbies?
Notice a little laugh there when you said not working.
So. No, I'm actually a very active person by nature, but I also really believe in work-life balance. If you want to be successful long-term, and I have a definition of success that goes probably slightly beyond just making money. But you do need to make sure that you spend time with your family, with your friends, and you do other things. So I'm a very active sport participant. I'm a runner originally. I run the marathon. I played tennis. I played soccer for 20 years. So I continue to do a lot of sports. I'm a big music and cinema fan. My wife gave me a challenge sort of 5 years ago and said, let's see if it's not too late to learn. So I'm actually playing and learning the guitar as well.
So it's
a very relaxing activity. And then I'm the proud father of two 19 and 13-year-old girl, I should say young woman probably. So I'm also trying to spend enough time with them and see them grow up, which is obviously a great pleasure.
Are there like a couple of countries that if you could just freely go there, okay, there's the pandemic doesn't exist. Which three countries would you choose to go to?
There's one I'll probably try to go to in the coming weeks if COVID permits, which is I'm a big fan of Scandinavian countries because I think that there's a very unique atmosphere there. So I've been to Denmark and Norway and Sweden already, but we have a large office and a great activity in Finland. So I'm planning to visit Helsinki in the coming weeks and I'm pretty excited about that. And then probably on a more personal note, I think I would love to go and visit New Zealand. I think it's an amazing culture and great landscapes and sceneries there. And then from a cultural standpoint, I haven't been to India yet. Here again, Accolat has some activities over there. And I say hi to all the teams over there, but I haven't been yet. And I think it's just it's not even a country, it's probably a continent. And
yeah,
it's amazing things to look there. I really like to lead, to mix and learn and see different things, which is why I'm probably looking forward to visiting those distant locations with other ways to live and see things.
What is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
I had an Australian boss at Microsoft I worked for who with a very strong accent was saying, don't be a victim, be a player. And I think that's exactly how I try to approach life right now. And I think it applies across the board. It applies in the way you pick your career moves. You can just let things come your way, or you can decide that you try to guide them. I think it applies in your day-to-day business responsibilities. Everybody has moments where they feel they are getting pushed somewhere they don't want to go, or they're being asked to do something in a way they don't want to do it. And what I'm trying to tell the teams on a day-to-day basis is that they can make an impact. They can change things. They just have to own it.
What do you feel is it that you do maybe differently from other CEOs? What is basically your brand or your style as a leader?
It's always for me a bit difficult to talk about sort of like me as a leader. You see what I mean? It's not really my style. So the first thing is probably making sure that you listen, actually. I think you need to be approachable and you need to listen both to your customers and to your teams. That's probably one of the most visible, I hope, things in my management style is to make sure that I don't pretend to know until I know. And knowing means having gone deep enough to really know what you're talking about, which obviously when you change industries is a bit more difficult. But you have to keep that discipline of saying, you know, there's always an opportunity to learn, both with customers and the team. The second thing is probably more on the vision. I think people like to know where they're going. Some people call it vision, some people call it strategy. But I think it's much easier when you want to get from point A to point B if people tell you what point B is about. and again, I think that applies across the board. It applies for like what type of verticals or customers you want to go after, what type of technology you want to own versus just acquire. There's a lot of things you can do in there. One thing that happens as a company scale is you want to, in a way, maintain the entrepreneurial spirit and the fast decision-making and the proximity that comes with being small. Mm-hmm. Then things do get more complex. Like we're now a 260 million plus company with 2,000 employees across the world. So how do you build processes that enable the company to run and make the right decisions? But then how do you not turn into a PowerPoint and full day video conferencing ivory tower place where anybody who works in a specific job feels like they're lost and they don't know what's happening? So that's one thing I'm trying to make sure we do, and that's both the way you define processes and the way you run them and what you ask the values of for the management team to be in terms of proximity with their teams.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what success means to you? Because obviously that can be very subjective as well, this word.
So for me, success is probably the combination of two things. It's I call it impact. Like I want to get shit done. Okay? Mm. I want to make sure we know the things we have delivered. And at my level, basically you can deliver things for in a way three audiences. You need to take care of your people and teams. So what are the things we can improve? And I have a relatively large vision of teams. Like our teams are our employees, but we do partner with more than 10,000 translators and external partners. So how do we make those teams, how do we put them in the right place so that they can strive? The second stakeholder and sort of audience is obviously our customers. So what is it that we can drive that makes them more successful and put them in a better position? The amazing thing with Accolade and with this industry that the number of industries, verticals, use case scenarios and type of impact we can have is just mind blowing. Like helping a company translate a digital marketing campaign that they want to roll out across the world can make a very big difference for a company. Obviously, translating the manual for an airplane or a car company is something where if you do it right, it's going to be a very different thing. And then we also have to. In the Netherlands, one of our companies actually does the translation for migrants application and healthcare. So there are a lot of places where you can make an impact if you deliver the right level of service. And then the other part of it, which is also we are a company that is growing very fast by acquiring both organic growth and acquisition of complementary services and geographies. So we do have financial investors that we have to keep happy. And I don't see that as a conflicting priorities with the other one. So impact for all those stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is I like to have fun. I mean, life's too short. So I don't want to get bored, to be honest. That's why I've changed industries and I don't stay when I'm not convinced any longer that I can make the right impact. And I do want the teams to feel that they're in a place where they can have fun and in a way it's a great place to work. I don't like that sentence because it's a technocratic way to describe it, but I want people to be energized when they come in the office in the morning.
Do you recall any specific moment that was like a real learning experience for you? You know, either like a mistake you made or a big challenge you overcame or anything where, you know, suddenly something changed and it changed your direction as well. Did you have a moment like that in your career?
I did have a lot of those and I keep learning, to be honest. I think the thing that consistently for me is a learning experience is when you underestimate competition and the level of change that is happening. Never underestimate low noise signals and be completely obsessed with hearing the feedback from your teams and your customers so that you can move fast.
As a CEO, of course, you spend a lot of your time on profitability. Yeah. But aside from that, in your job, what are the three main things that you spend your time on at work?
We do spend some time on profitability. Mm-hmm. But the real thing we're focused on probably right now is growth. Like the market is growing, whatever, between 5% and 10% every year. It's going through a lot of changes. So there are a lot of opportunities to grasp. So a big part of my job is to make sure that we agree where the largest and most sizable opportunities are that we should go after and put them in the right order. Then if you want to be a bit more specific, I'm spending a lot of time on innovation and technology, obviously, trying to get the real feeling of what is happening with customers. And then I do spend a lot of time on people topics. A company only can scale if it, I call it an infrastructure. I don't like that word. It's a bit too technical, but like if you want, I call that turn from a 20 million business back in 2014, I think, to now more than 260 million. You need the right technology, you need the right processes, but you also need the right people. And the right people means growing your people first and foremost in my mind, and then hiring the competencies and skill that you need to continue to deliver new things.
What advice would you give to young entrepreneurs starting their own business in the language industry today? I know you're still new-ish to the language industry yourself, but you've obviously come a long way. So
I'm a consumer marketing person at heart. So I started with Procter & Gamble selling diapers and laundry products. The thing I learned is you cannot succeed. Well, you may succeed if you just copy what other people is doing, but the real thing is like, where does your differentiation come from? What is it that you do better than other people? And it doesn't mean necessarily breakthrough innovation, like you don't need to be an engineer, and it can just be in the way you service your people. It can be in the way you engage with your customer. There's a lot of ways to differentiate, but if you're not clear on your specific value proposition, I would doubt that you can really get there. And then the second thing is don't do it on your own. I think being an entrepreneur is very demanding. It takes a lot of energy and passion. I think you need partners and you need people who can help you in the tough time. Mm-hmm. And we can also sort of like provide a slightly different angle and partner with you to build the right journey.
Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us in the hot seat. We hope you didn't sweat too much. It's not that warm anymore, but still.
No, it was one of those very enjoyable moments where you can share your experience and your views. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share some of that.
If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, do sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
Yes, and for the viewers at home, thank you so much for joining today. This is it for today, but the next episode will be out soon and published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the MIMSI website. We'll see you there.